RNZ National, time for Critter of the Week. We do it each Friday and catch up with Docs Threatened Species Ambassador Nicola Tookie, who joins me now. Hello there.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I think you and I both have news from our respective neighbourhoods today.
All right. Well, you go first.
Okay. Well, you know how I set up this group, Predator-Free Grey Lynn, to try and get some rats, yes, some rat traps into backyards around Grey Lynn. And it started with a bit of a hiss and a roar, and then, you know, life's busy, so I haven't been making any Facebook posts or sending out any newsletters, just hoping people are kind of doing their own thing. Well, I've got some good news because actually some people who are more motivated than me have mooted this, like joining up all the different organisations in Auckland or in our part of Auckland and, you know, kind of benefiting from each other's admin, energy, expertise. And so we're actually creating this, like 12 different conservation groups, or it might even be 14 groups, have got together, and we're calling it Urban Arc. And now we're going to be part of this big sort of like motivated, unified Central Auckland effort. So that's my news.
Oh, that's awesome news. You've gone meta.
Yeah. And we've even got someone from the zoo has organised some money so we can even hire our own coordinator who will actually get some bucks to, you know, to get it, whip us all into shape, basically.
Oh, look, so that's really heartening to hear because I don't know if you remember, just before Jan Wright finished it as the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment last year, one of her very last reports was one called Taonga of an Island Nation Saving New Zealand's Birds. And she talked a lot about the fact that while there was this, you know, sort of groundswell of enthusiasm and action in terms of trapping and habitat restoration, the largest problem was just the lack of capacity for anybody to administer that stuff and coordinate it.
Yeah.
And so she sort of put out a plea to the government at the time and said, you've got to start funding the people who keep it all cranking. And this is obviously a great example of that, because then it lets people get on with the trapping and the stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But by the way, if anyone lives in Auckland and wants to do the job, it's on the SEEK website. If you just searched Urban Arc, and it's 20 hours a week for 12 months. Imagine how much you could get done with that time.
That is so cool. That is really cool. We're a bit lucky down our end. So I think my story relates to yours slightly, and that obviously I live in a pretty rural area.
Yeah.
And what I've increasingly noticed is that there are a huge range of local landowners, people who live in the village, farmers, you know, lifestyle blockers, who actually do want to make a difference. And it's maybe just a little bit lost about how to connect. Mm. And it's, you know, I'm trying to connect across an urban landscape, but trying to connect across an enormous rural landscape is quite different as well. So we're really lucky with our little chapping group up the hill, because we have a chap who's retired, used to work at Canterbury Law School, and he's made it his mission to do our admin. That's his thing. He goes away and gets funding and makes us come to meetings and does all that. And
great.
Those people are like gold. And then last night I went along to the Greta Valley pub and gave a talk to the local farming community, who are really interested in how do they protect biodiversity in their backyards, particularly in this sort of dryland eastern South Island environment, where maybe the things, you know, they're not like Nikko palms. They tend to be things, particularly the plants, that you could only see if you're down on your hands and knees. and so it was really great. We had 50 people turn up from sort of as far away as north of Waio, Scargill Valley, right through. So it's really heartening to look around the community and go, oh, look what we all have in common. We might disagree on a bunch of stuff, but look what we all have in common. We want to protect our backyards. So kudos to you and kudos to my community.
Does it count as a meeting if they're pouring beer at the same time?
No, it was off in a side room, and I was pretty knackered. I started my day yesterday on the way to work, running slightly late, and I was directly behind a car accident. Luckily the guy was okay, but he fell asleep and just drove off the road.
Boy.
It was full on. So anyway,
honestly, in 2019, overtiredness is an epidemic, I reckon, and I think it's underreported how much impact it has on accidents and productivity and all sorts of other things, stress and anxiety. And anyway, we're not here to talk about that today.
No, but it was terrifying to watch. I've never been so relieved in my life as when I saw him, because he basically went right across the wrong side of the road, narrowly missed oncoming traffic, down the side of a ditch and bounced across the railway lines.
Boy.
And then they came out. I ran across to it with my phone to see, because I was first on the scene. And he got out of the car and I've never been so relieved in my life. And I said, what happened? I don't know. I woke up on the tracks. Just crazy. Anyway, so for that reason, my big drink last night was a Coke and raspberry from the Greta Valley Tavern. It was great.
Okay. Hey, but that conversation last night has sort of inspired today's Critter of the Week.
Yeah, it has, really. So I have the benefit, of course, of sitting next to some pretty excited botanists who work for the Department of Conservation. And last night we had another botanist, kind of plant nerd, amazing knowledge of plants around this region from the QE2 Trust, and she gave a talk as well. And so one of the things she talked about was that the loss of vascular plants, so green leafy plant kind of things across New Zealand, has been particularly amplified in the eastern South Island region and the sort of dryland areas. And you can see why. Just then you fly over the Canterbury Plains and it's essentially like a monoculture, because those plains are quite fertile and they're quite good for growing stuff and cows and whatnot. And so because of that, we haven't left a lot of room for some of our native species. And so I asked our doc botanist what she favoured, and she said, oh, please, can you talk about the New Zealand sow thistle? so here we go. So
a sow thistle?
So I knew you were going to do that. So another name for a sow thistle, sow thistles you might be familiar with are dandelions and also puha. So in New Zealand, we're pretty good at understanding our sow thistles, but we probably don't know much about Sonchus novae zelandii, which is the dryland sow thistle. And so supposed to be found throughout kind of grasslands and rock faces. And the reason that that our botanist in particular loves it, and Alice from QE2 made the same points last night, is that it kind of changes its mind about how it wants to look. So it looks very much like a dandelion. So it's from that family, the dandelion tribe of the sunflower family. So all your daisies, all the beautiful flowers that most of us love, all come from one big family. And within that family are a kind of tribe called the dandelion tribe, and that's where this particular plant comes from. It's a really, really pretty bright yellow daisy. All of them are yellow, but interestingly, the leaves can be grey, green, or brown, and sometimes a combination of all of those. So I kind of like, it's kind of like getting up in the morning and deciding you're going to wear something else.
Yeah. The pictures, we've got some pictures on the website, by the way, rnz.co.nz/Jessie. And, there are times when it looks really similar to a dandelion, complete with that little, what do you call the thing that you blow and make a wish?
Oh, I don't know. I always called them fairies, but that's not quite. That's probably not the scientific
term. People know
term.
What we're talking about. Yeah, the little spores, little fluffy spore thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but, and often it kind of looks like a plant that maybe got a bit frostburnt, but actually that's how it's supposed to look. And its stronghold is right in those kind of subalpine basins and dryland areas within South Island. But what's kind of really interesting to botanists is it can also be found in seabird colonies on the coast. And I was sort of reflecting on that and thinking,
that's weird,
Yeah. But then I thought, it's probably because when you have a seabird colony, they disturb all the ground, so they kind of create these big open, kind of soil areas, which I imagine that given the threatened nature of this plant, it probably can't handle being surrounded by a whole lot of invasive grass and weeds and just kind of gets crowded out, right? But if you've got constantly disturbed areas, you've got room to grow. So that's my theory. I'm sure some botanists will ring up and tell me if that's not right.
Oh, they must love you. What is she on the radio sharing theories like this? There's no evidence for that.
What's really interesting also, actually on that note, I just have a quick aside because I love botanists. I love how passionate they are. They get so excited about this, about anything to do with any of New Zealand's native plants. And recently I was up in Waipoua with one of our botanists from the North Island, and we were driving through Waipoua Forest, and she got all excited. She was driving and she said, Oh, this is so great. This is so great. I learn all my plants up here. This is my library. And she said, Look, I'm finding this quite hard. And I said, What do you mean? And she said, Well, usually when botanists come through Waipoua Forest, we have a sober driver, and their job is just to drive and look at the road, because the rest of them are all pressed up against
Oh,
the
that is so good. Wow.
windows. So, you got you thank goodness for people like that, because it's people like that that are walking around in environments.
Get yourself a partner who looks at you the same way a botanist looks at Waipoua Forest.
Yeah, that's right. If only we could aspire to that kind of adoration. I've tried. It doesn't work. The song is particularly it's particularly found through the Mackenzie and Central Otago as well, and it just really hasn't fared well at all with all that rapid intensification that we've seen through that environment. You can't just turn sort of ancient environments entirely into a paddock and there not be any collateral damage, unfortunately. So they need a bit of TLC. I particularly love that they are in the same family as Puha, because we basically have a deal now at home that I ate boil up politely when I first met my husband, and particularly my father-in-law, because show that I was trying hard and when in Rome and all that. And now we have a deal that they do boil ups when I'm away for work, and I'm constantly getting in trouble for pulling out puha around our garden because I just think it's a weed. And actually, the husband's been like lovingly growing it to get it to exactly the right place for harvest. Because do you know that puha has 47 milligrams per 100 grams of vitamin C, which is about the same as an orange. So pretty good for you. I always opt for a cheese sandwich, which is why I end up not as healthy as my husband.
Not much vitamin C in a cheese sandwich, Nicola. Hey, so be honest,
Yeah.
how would you rate the attractiveness of this New Zealand sow thistle on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I can be honest because yellow is my favourite colour, so it already scores points for me on that one. And I think it is beautiful. If you like, some of Jane's photos are stunning. So I reckon it's I'm going to give it a 6.8.
Come on, Nicola.
I am. Look at that. You listeners, particularly you botany listeners, go and have a look on the website and tell me that you don't think that's beautiful as well.
I think you need a sober driver.
Maybe I've been spending too much time with botanists.
Good one. Hey, great to chat to you as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jesse.
It's Nicola Tookie, Doc's Threatened Species Ambassador. She's here every week for Critter of the Week. Hey, it's been months. We've missed him. Is he still alive? It's time for this week's edition, the first in the season of Ken Oath and Go Ahead Caller.